Okay, Haggai chapter 2, verse 15. I'd like to get this finished. If I could get this finished today, we'd be ready for a new book.
Oh, amen.
We won't be having class next Sunday. And, Scott will be back on April.
But I'm about ready for a new book.
So maybe in May, I'll start on a new book if I can get through this. I'll have a fly to do it.
You can do it, brother.
Haggai chapter 2, we go down to verse 15. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, this day. Verse 18 says, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. This is what took place in Ezra 3, 8 through 10. They laid the foundation 16 years earlier than when this was being preached by Haggai. It laid it 16 years earlier. Verse 16, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. All right, they talk about that in chapter 1, 6.
Yeah.
You have sown much, you bring in little, so forth, so on. Then talk about again 11. I called for a drought upon the land. That's God speaking. You don't take sin lightly. Sin brings judgment.
Right.
Famine was caused before the Assyrian captivity. They talked about that. We looked at that in detail in Amos 4, 6, and 11. We looked at that in detail when we studied Amos, so I'm not going to read it. And also, it's a future prophecy of a future famine over in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, when that black horse rider comes through. It's a prophecy of this right here, of this when this black horse rider comes on the scene. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. That's a measure of wheat for a penny. That's about like buying a loaf of bread for a day's wages. In the New Testament, a penny was a day's wages. So that's a pretty high price for a loaf of bread. On the day's wages, if you make $100, that's Revelation 6, 5. If you make $100 a day and it costs you $100 for a loaf of bread, that's rough. That's pretty serious business. And I beheld a little black horse, for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. There's three loaves of bread. Maybe that's probably wheat bread there. But that's talking about this famine that's coming up in the future in tribulation. It's going to be a serious famine.
Hey, Brother Mike, you think it's a reference to Israel, that latter part of verse 6, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine?
Oil and wine, that's money.
Is it?
Money going to, that's a representation of money. Oil and wine, that's a representation of money. They're going to take care of the money, but only certain people are going to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know from our studies in the past, in the tribulation, the only way you can use your money is to take the mark.
Yeah.
You don't take the mark, you can't use your money. But the oil and wine is going to be in good shape for a while until the whole world goes bankrupt in tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, verse 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Now there you see the number 24. That number is mentioned four times in this book. It's mentioned in 115, 210 here, 18 and 20. And nobody yet has figured out what it's talking about. Nobody knows what it's a reference to. The most brilliant minds in the Bible, they hadn't figured it out. They don't know what's going on with that 20 and 4. And I don't have a clue. So right now, that's just... That's some of the scripture that hadn't been opened up yet.
It's mentioned also in Revelation, I think.
True. And we may not know what it stands for until after the rapture. But that's just something that's a lot of things in the scripture like it nobody's got figured out. And you know, if everybody could figure out what's going on, they'd be just as smart as God.
Yeah.
I mean, the author of this book, I mean, he has to simplify it down so we can get a hold of it.
Right.
But some things he put in there and nobody's figured it out yet.
Right.
Verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. For this day I will bless you. Habakkuk 3:17. Go backwards real quick. Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. More famine. Mm-hmm. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and then there shall be no herd in the stall. Now this is the end of the second prophecy in the book of Haggai. And it ends with, from this day will I bless you. From this day will I bless you. What day? After the day of judgment. Mm. They're not blessed right now. And they're definitely not going to be blessed in tribulation. But after that thing's over with, then he's going to bless the nation of Israel again. God will restore and bless Israel. Daniel 9 talks about this. After the judgment, after the tribulation. Daniel 9:7-8. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries whither thou hast driven them. That's the state they're in now.
Through all the countries.
Yeah, through all the countries. Because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Now look down verse 24. Now here's when the blessing is going to take place. And it's not now. It's at the end of this 70th week, or the 70th week of Daniel. That's the end of this 7-year period. 70 weeks are determined on thy people and upon thy holy city. For what? To finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That takes place at the end of the tribulation. Daniel 70 of the week has to take place. That's a 7-year period that is coming up. It'll set in immediately after the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be hell on wheels when that thing sets in.
Yeah.
If you're not saved, you ought to get saved, or you definitely don't want to be here when that thing takes place. It's going to be a horror.
Yeah.
Nothing like it ever.
Yeah,
Now Israel's returned to the land in disbelief, and this will be like it did in Ezra 1:3. They started going back in 1948. They started going back into the land. Israel's a nation now. The Jews are over there, but they're still in disbelief. They don't believe Jesus Christ has came yet. They don't believe the Messiah has come yet. And they're in disobedience. Now, all of them are not there. Now, all of them are not back. And there's still some of them trickling back in. And the ones that don't get back over there and get to Petra when the Antichrist takes over and starts his reign at there, they're going to be killed just like flies when that thing takes place. That's why they're supposed to get back over there where God can protect them at Petra, the small remnant, when this thing sets in. But the majority of them are there now.
Right.
They're still suffering the judgment of God and the opposition of nations like they did in Ezra 4. And in the tribulation, things will start to turn around. At the end of the tribulation, they'll repent and get right at the second advent of Jesus Christ. Over there in Revelation, when they see Him coming, they're going to repent.
Right.
And Zechariah, we'll get that in detail when we get there. But they're going to look upon the one whom they pierced.
Right, right.
And they're going to realize that he is one.
Kind of like Joseph and his brothers, yeah.
Right, yeah. Joseph and his brothers are a picture of that thing over there in the book of Genesis. All right, after they repent, God restores them again. And then they get blessings promised in 2:19 of this verse. Mm-hmm. From this day will I bless you. After that, no more judgment on Israel. It's all took care of after that day. Their blessing will start and it'll run throughout eternity after that thing takes place. Verse 20. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 420th day of the month, saying, there it is again. Mm-hmm. Something about that number 24.
Right.
It means something. It's supposed to be there. God don't put words in there just to take up space. Every word in that book, the Bible says, every word of the Lord is pure.
Mm-hmm.
He's got them in there for a purpose, but nobody's figured that one out yet. All right, this is the third prophecy. There's three prophecies in this book. This third prophecy begins, and it mentions Zerubbabel. And the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 420th day of the month, saying, 21, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. This third prophecy, Zerubbabel is a type of Christ here at the second advent. He's a type of Christ at the second advent. Now, the ninth month, that'll be the ninth month. That'll be December, January on a Hebrew calendar.
Mm-hmm.
They number their months different than we do. The first month of the year on Hebrew calendar is April. And they usually start their counting from the 15th of the month. The Hebrew calendar, they only had 30 days in a month. They don't have 31 one month, then 30 the next month, 28 the leap year, all that junk. They don't have that. Their calendar is 30 days. There's 1,260 days in a year on a Hebrew calendar. And they count it from the 15th of the month to the 15th of the month. You say, why do they do that? I have no idea. Just like their day over in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, the evening and the morning was the first day. Remember we looked at that a while back when we studied Genesis? Their day starts at 6 o'clock at night and runs to 6 o'clock in the morning. All right, 6 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock in the morning, the second day. 6 o'clock at night, and that takes in a 24-hour period. That's the way the Hebrew calendar and Hebrew time is reckoned. All right, this ninth month will be December and January. All right, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Joel 3:16 is the context, is the second advent. We looked at that in detail. I'm not going to look at it again, but it talks about this shaking. Zephaniah 3:8. Back up to your left, just right there real close. Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. So much for late great planet Earth, huh? Man, this earth is heading for disaster. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. All the earth be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. All right, Zerubbabel, I told you, was a type of the type of Jesus Christ at the second advent. We're going to look at him just a little bit more here in a second. Verse 22, speak to Zerubbabel, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. That's USA included.
Mm-hmm.
Don't matter who's president.
Right. Yeah.
And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Strange statement there, ain't it? But you know, in our past studies, we looked at that thing in detail. When those soldiers came up against Israel, especially Sennacherib, the Lord turned those soldiers against each other.
Yeah.
They got to killing each other.
Yeah, 160-something battle.
Their own people got to killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take place again at the Battle of Armageddon. They're going to go mad, and they're going to turn on each other. But that's the way the Bible pictures the thing.
Hey, Brother Mike, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, talks about refuse not him that speaketh, whose voice then shook the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have promised, saying, yet once more shake, once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Right. That's on the way. Talking about this shaking here, look at Psalms 46,
mm-hmm.
6. Psalm 46:6, the heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. Mm-hmm. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, that desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Mm-hmm. He breaketh the bow, and cut the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. And you notice he does that after he destroys the kingdoms. After he destroys the kingdom. Look at 68:8. Psalm 68:8. Talking about what this judgment that's coming up. Right. Psalm 68:8. 68:8. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. That hadn't happened yet. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Now, Sinai did quake when Moses and him approached it over there in the book of Exodus. But it's not, this is something future. The whole earth's going to shake when this thing takes place. Look at 76:12. Talk about this judgment that's coming, shaking. 76:12. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Every one of them. USA included.
Mm-hmm.
USA included. Look at one Psalm 110:5-6. Psalm 110:5-6. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Daniel 2:44. This Bible's saturated with this.
Right.
But I'm just reading a few verses that stand out on this thing of judgment coming. Daniel 2:44, did I say?
Yeah.
Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. At the end of tribulations, God's going to set up his government. He's going to destroy every nation, all the kings on this planet, and he's going to set up his government. And the Bible says, of that kingdom, there shall be no end. Over there in Isaiah 53, I believe, where that is. That kingdom goes on out through eternity. It never ends. Verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord. I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Zerubbabel, like I told you a while ago, is a type of Jesus Christ. Take a right. Look at Zechariah real quick. Zechariah 4. Verse 7, Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro in the whole earth. And you know, let's talk about those seven spirits over in the book of Revelation. He's addressing Zerubbabel, but he's talking about his son, Jesus Christ. There's the type there. That's what's going on. And he does that a lot in the Scripture. He'll address a man just like he's talking to somebody else. He calls him my servant. Look at Isaiah 42:1. I'm traveling, trying to get this done. I believe I'm going to make it. Isaiah 42:1. Now look at this right here, how he addresses Isaiah. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Not Isaiah. Isaiah didn't do it. Isaiah's not going to do it. But he's speaking to He's speaking to Isaiah like he's talking to his son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing there.
Yeah.
Look at verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth them. Not Isaiah. Isaiah didn't create the heavens. Who's he talking to here? He's talking about Jesus Christ, his son.
Right.
He that spread from forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. How do you know he's talking about Jesus Christ? Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Now, see how this Bible's laid
right.
out? You have to study it and search the Scripture to get this stuff. He's addressing Jesus Christ through a man, through an Old Testament prophet. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Here's who he's talking to. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, Jesus Christ, not Isaiah.
Right.
Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, not Isaiah, Jesus Christ. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Look at Colossians 1, 15, 17. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Now, there's a lot of this in the Scriptures. He'll address somebody through somebody else. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Watch it. 16. For by him were all things created.
Right.
That are in heaven and not Isaiah. He was talking to Jesus Christ through the person of Isaiah. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Look at Isaiah 43, 10, 11. Isaiah 43, 10, 11. I'll read it for you. I'm hurrying. Isaiah 43, 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Verse 11, look here. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior.
That's right.
Isaiah talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Isaiah who you're talking about there. Talking about Jesus Christ. That's the way the Lord does this thing a lot of times in the Bible. Zerubbabel was the grandson of Jeconiah. You get that in the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, verse 12. Now listen real close here. He was the grandson of Jeconiah. God cursed Jeconiah's line. You remember that over in the book? We talked about that a few months back. He cursed Jeconiah's line. He said, no son of Jeconiah shall prosper on the throne of Israel. Now, he cursed his line. Jeconiah, he removes the J from his name. And J is abbreviation for Jehovah. Look at Jeremiah 22:24. Now I'm showing you something here, about Zerubbabel being a type of Christ, even though he comes from a line that's been cursed as far as the kings of Israel is concerned. Isaiah 43:10-11. Isaiah 43:10-11. Jeremiah 22:24. I'm going so fast. That's all right. We'll get it. Somebody got to read it real loud.
As I live, saith the Lord, though Conan, son of...
Sorry, now notice there he took the J off of that word. Coniah. It was
okay.
Jeconiah. He removes the J-E. Go read it.
Son of... Some of these words, boy.
Jehoiakim,
king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee hence.
All right, now he calls him as a signet. The Lord picks up the signet with Zerubbabel. Now, he cast it away with Coniah or Jeconiah. He removes the J-E. He cursed that line. Now, that's why Zerubbabel is only a governor and not a king in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. He's a governor. He's not allowed to be king. But he is a governor. He's a king. I mean a governor. Governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, 1 verse 1. All right, now, because of the restoration, Christ claims the legal right to the throne of David through Zerubbabel, going back to David's son Solomon. The genealogical line is from David's son Nathan through Mary, Luke 3:23-31. This gives Jesus Christ a right to the throne because of the virgin birth. Now you say, why is that so important? Because the cults and the sects today teach, S-E-C-T-S, they teach that there is no such thing as the millennial reign of Jesus Christ because he comes from the line of Jeconiah.
Right.
But they overlooked the virgin birth. Jesus Christ's seed line didn't come from Jeconiah.
Right.
His seed line came from the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
Amen. Jesus Christ will rule on the throne in Jerusalem, and he'll run this planet for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And that's why it's important to know that Zerubbabel's line, even though he came from a cursed line, he was allowed to be governor only. And Jesus Christ's line, it doesn't come from Jeconiah. It comes from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And the liars, I've heard them over and over and over. They'll get up on the radio and the television, and they'll go through this thing. They'll run over to Jeconiah or Coniah, and they'll say, that's why Jesus Christ cannot sit on the throne of David and there be a millennial reign. Let me tell you something. You know what they do when they do that? They're saying Jesus Christ was born just like you and me.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying, and they don't even know they're doing it because God has blinded them. They can't even see the truth.
Right.
He was, kick on Jesus Christ, you're asking for trouble.
Right, absolutely.
You're asking to get blinded by the God of this world.
Yeah.
And God allows it to happen.
He was seed of David also.
Christ. Seed of David through Mary.
Through Mary.
Right. His seed from his father was the Holy Spirit. And the only seed the Holy Spirit has is right here. The Word of God.
That's right.
Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Now, there will be a millennial reign, and Jesus Christ will rule the world, no matter what the cults say. They're blind, leaders of the blind. They don't have a clue what they're talking about when they start talking about
this
stuff. Okay, in Psalms chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, God addresses his son through David. God addresses his son through David. Let me get this fixed real quick. Let me finish this real quick. Psalms 2, 7 through 9. You look at this. Look at this, how he does this here. Psalms 2, chapter 7 through 9. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, talking to David, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, not David. He's talking to Jesus Christ through David.
Right.
So that's the way he does this thing. Ask me and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, not David. You know who's going to rule with a rod of iron in the millennium, don't you?
Right.
Jesus Christ. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He's addressing Jesus Christ through David. Now, here the book ends with God addressing his son through Zerubbabel, the book of Haggai. In Psalm 16, in the prayer of David, verses 8 through 11, I'm not going to read that, I don't have time. You can check it out. You can see how this thing's going here. Every liar who denies Jesus Christ's reign calls God a liar and he makes the promise void. God swore to David that Christ would rule this world from David's throne in Jerusalem. And you can take that to the bank.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
We got through the book of Haggai. We went 3 minutes over. In May, we'll start in the book of Zechariah. Boy, it's going to be a good book.
Amen.
In May, we'll do that.
It's all good. It just gets better.
Scott will be back on deck week after next. Next week, we're not having class. We're going to have a
Easter
play. Okay, you're dismissed.
Good, brother.
Good, brother.